Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Barrett, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to conclude our present short series of studies on four attributes of God. And today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the attribute of the wisdom of God. We've already considered in the series the love of God, the grace of God, the power of God, all attributes, and now the wisdom of God. And again, we're going to have to turn to the first chapter of the Epistle to the Corinthians, Paul's Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1. And we read there, or rather, our theme verse, and it is verse 24, where the phrase is used. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. See, it's just as plain as can be here that Christ is the one in whom the wisdom of God is pleased to dwell as far as our being available to us is concerned. That doesn't mean that the other members of the Godhead are not wise, of course. We'll go into this a little bit later. Unto them which are called, and the answer to the call, incidentally, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Now, I think we will appreciate this wonderful verse if we relate it to the text. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. They're Greeks. And the Greeks doted on wisdom. And indeed, they were the center of learning, the center of culture, and the whole world. The prophet, their scribes and their prophets, and their philosophers are without equal. Socrates, Plato, still being quoted. They were wise indeed, but they were taking stock too much in their wisdom. Paul says in verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to preach, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words like you'd like to hear." Paul says, "I'm not going to do this with oratory, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the prudent, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. God in his wisdom did not make our connection with him through the wisdom that he's given us, but rather through the faith that we exercise when the Spirit of God brings our need before us." Let's go on. I think we'll understand it better. But after that, the wisdom of God, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's a matter of faith, not a matter of wisdom. Now, here we have the gospel being preached, and Paul says here, by the foolishness of preaching. Now, he doesn't say by foolish preaching. It's not foolish preaching. It's the foolishness of preaching. Why should we have to preach? Why should we have to tell men they're sinners? Doesn't their own conscience tell them that? Why should we tell men they've got to die? Don't they know that? Don't they see the processions going to the cemetery? Don't they realize they're going to die? Of course. Of course they realize these things. We don't have to tell them these things. It's not the foolish preaching, it's the foolishness of preaching. Wouldn't it seem that we shouldn't have to tell men that they should establish their relationship with God because they're going to die and they're going to meet him? They're going into eternity. Would it be with Christ or without Christ? To heaven or to hell? And they think about these things. But I'll tell you what they do. Yes, I know that's true. I've got to consider this, but I'm awfully busy now. I'll consider it. And they go on and they go on, and the mundane things of life creep in and do indeed absorb them with the problems of earth to the degree they forget all about it. It's the foolishness of preaching. We shouldn't have to preach and tell men. They can be saved. They can go to heaven if they want to. They should read it in the Bible. All right. By the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. It's not the matter of laying hold of God by wisdom. It's a matter of laying hold of God by faith, believing Him. And children can exercise faith. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Oh, yes, they seek after it. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block. Yes, they seek after a sign. Well, might they seek after a sign? Because of the fact that God performed miracles in connection with the Jewish nation. They were always looking for a sign, always looking for a miracle. The Jews seek after signs, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. They call both Jews and Greeks the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, Christ was to the Jews a stumbling block. Now, a stumbling block is down low where you don't see it. And you stumble over it without realizing that it's there. And that's exactly what the Jews did to our Lord Jesus Christ. He came in such humility, so low, they were expecting their Messiah to come in pomp and glory. He didn't come that way. Why not? He had another mission to accomplish. He had to go to the cross to die for their sins and for your sins and for my sins. And they missed it. They missed it. They stumbled over him. He was not their Messiah. He did not come as they expected him to. Why didn't they accept him as he came? And he proved by his ministry and by the wisdom that he displayed and the miracles which he performed, he proved that he was their Messiah. Oh, how sad. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, thank God there are Jews that are being saved. Both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Now, when we think of Christ as being the wisdom of God, we have to turn to Colossians chapter 1. We read there in verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Christ, should all fullness dwell." The marginal reading is better. "For in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell." By the mutual consent of the Godhead, the fullness dwelt in Christ. We read in chapter 2, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea, and for them as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and in all riches unto the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Now that does not mean, that in no sense means that the God the Father and the Holy Spirit are diminished in any degree. It's a functional order. On our last broadcast, we brought out the fact that the Father plans, the Son executes, and the Spirit integrates. But that is functional. It does not mean that the other members of the Godhead are not full of wisdom. It means that by the mutual consent of the Godhead, that wisdom was to rest in Christ. And He is the wisdom of God. And that is why we are coming to Him. Well, while we're studying this today, as the attribute of God. The wisdom is resident in Him. Now, God imparts this wisdom to all men. We read in James chapter 1, I say this wisdom, the worldly wisdom, James 1 and 5, "If any of you lack wisdom to cope with your problems, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally," all men, notice that please, "liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Now, God says, if you lack wisdom, come to me and ask of it. Ask me for it. I've given it to all men. I think the Christian sometimes is naive in that he thinks of himself as being a cut above the unredeemed that are in this world. God has given wisdom to all men. And we should not adopt a holier-than-thou attitude. The only difference is they have not followed the dictates of their own conscience. Perhaps they've not followed the wooings of the Spirit in making Christ their own. That's the difference. The unredeemed man, he may be higher intelligence, he may be even higher in morals than the Christian people, but we have the edge on them in the spiritual realm. We have accepted Christ, and they have not. How sad. Now, we should remember that God indeed is impartial. He gives every man enough intelligence to accept Christ, if he will. Now, Christ's wisdom is available to you and to me. We read later in this wonderful chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, where we read there, "For of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification." Let me read that over again. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Now, he's available to us as our wisdom. When we make decisions, we call upon memory, precedence, supply, advantage, and we think of the final result. And we make our decision. Now, in Christ, we have all of these, but he has something a plus. He has the ability to change the circumstances. You and I make our decisions many times on the basis of the fact that we have a problem, we must cope with it, and we call everything to mind that we can that will help us to solve that problem. When we could go to Christ and ask him for wisdom and leading and guidance, and the scriptures promise, Psalm 25, "The meek will he guide in judgment," if we're meek enough to come to Christ. And the source of our wisdom, and ask him for the wisdom, ask him what to do, read the Word of God, and follow his promptings by the Spirit of God, we can indeed benefit by the fact that Christ is our wisdom. And he can change the circumstances. The best plans of mice and men go awry. You've heard that one before. The best laid plans of mice and men go awry. They can't see around the corner, and they can't change circumstances. Christ can. And you and I, as the wisdom of God, Christ is available to you and to me. We can go to him. We can ask him for leading and guidance and what to do. And faith will lay hold of the proper answer. This is available to all men. May we indeed, as Christians, lay hold of Christ. Father, bless this series of meetings, we pray, to our hearts, and show us what we have in God, his wonderful attributes, all serving our needs. We ask in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.